Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. Well, happy Easter to everybody. Hope that you've been having a great weekend of celebrating Friday and continue tomorrow if you don't have to go to work. But happy Easter to all of you. We've been having some family time over the last few days and started a tradition that every Easter, Eric gets a chance to do a little Easter hunt around the house. So he's told me a couple days ago, he goes, "Daddy, you know what? I love chocolate." And I was like, okay, you know what? Well, we'll make sure to see what we can kind of work that into our Easter celebration. So he's been enjoying some chocolate. But hopefully whatever you've been doing, maybe you've been enjoying chocolate too. But whatever you've been doing, I hope that you've been having a great time this weekend. And if you visit with us, great to have you with us here this morning. Again, it's great to have Peter Ottman with us. I've known each other for quite a number of years. I remember becoming a young Christian in the church and hearing about Peter Ottman and how he's into dance, ballet, and all that kind of great stuff. And he choreographed our first dance performance we did in front of the whole Toronto church. He kind of choreographed a hip-hop dance. So I'm not going to show it to you right now, but there are videos. I know there's videos, but I can't find any, so you don't have to worry. But it was a great time, but he really did a lot to help us, serve us, but great to have you with us here this Sunday morning. You know, what is Easter? You know, Easter is more than the second largest candy-eating day in North America. But what is Easter? You know, three Canadian guys just died and are at the pearly gates of heaven. St. Peter tells them that they can enter the gates if they can answer one simple question. St. Peter asked the first man, "What is Easter?" The man replies, "That's easy. It's the holiday in October where everybody gets together, we eat lots of turkey, and we're very thankful." St. Peter tells him wrong. He proceeds to ask the second man the same question, "What is Easter?" The second man replies, "Easter is the holiday in December when people put up a nice tree, exchange presents, and celebrate the birth of Jesus." St. Peter looks at the second man and shakes his head in disgust. He looks at the third man and asks, "Certainly, you know what Easter is." The third man smiles confidently and looks Peter straight in the eye. "I know what Easter is. Easter is the Christian holiday that coincides with the Jewish celebration of Passover. Jesus and his disciples were eating at the Last Supper and was later deceived and turned over to the Romans by one of his disciples. He was crucified and hung on a cross. He was buried in a nearby cave, which was sealed off by a large boulder. Every year, the boulder is moved aside so that Jesus can come out. And if he sees a shadow there, there'll be six more weeks of hockey." And Peter faints. You know, he almost had it as to what is Easter. Of course, it's not about celebrating the birth of Christ. It's not about Thanksgiving. It is about celebrating, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is what we're here to this morning. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, it is a time to celebrate. You know, of all the major religions, Christianity alone bases its claim on the resurrection of its founder. You know, if you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this passage, along with some other passages we'll be looking at this morning, helps us to understand more clearly the importance of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. You know, when we think about this passage, it helps us understand the importance of the resurrection. You know, the foundation of the Christian faith is the gospel. And the gospel, we see that Paul preached as of first importance. Because it is by this gospel, he says that they are saved. No wonder it was of first importance. And the word gospel means good news. And the gospel, good news, is defined by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came down to the earth, lived as a man, was crucified, buried, but that was not the end of the story. That he rose on the third day. And when Jesus rose from the dead, it says that he appeared to a number of the disciples. But you think about after he died, for that moment, that time when he did not appear to the disciples, when they believed that he was dead. You know, the disciples experienced a variety of emotions. The death of Jesus is only part of the story. And they did not grasp fully what was going to take place on the third day. That Jesus was going to do something that had never been done before. That he was going to raise from the dead. And after he raised from the dead, he appeared to them, and their lives were changed forever because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, you think about your life today, and I want you to ask yourself, how has the resurrection of Jesus changed your life? How has the resurrection of Jesus changed your life? You know, it's more than just a once-a-year celebration. The resurrection of Jesus should change our day-to-day lives. And that's what we're going to look at here today. We're going to look at how the resurrection of Jesus changed the disciples' life. To look at what they might have been experienced after Jesus died. And to see when he rose from the dead. And when he appeared to them. To see the way that their lives were changed forever. And so the title of today's lesson is, How the Resurrection Changed My Life. And we're going to look at the testimony of Mary, the disciples, to just look and see how were they when Jesus died, and how were they when Jesus appeared to them when he rose from the dead. But before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we come before you here this morning with gratitude in our hearts. That, Father, we can come to you here together as brothers and sisters, as friends and family, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for that amazing sacrifice on the cross. That, Father, through his body and the blood being shed on the cross, that, Father, we can have our sins forgiven. But, Father, thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus. That the same way that Jesus rose from the dead, that, Father, we can have power in our lives to live our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. That, Father, how the resurrection, it solidifies our faith. It encourages our faith. And it helps us, God, to really be confident in the gospel in which we stand. And, Father, I do pray that as we study your word here today, as we talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that, Father, our hearts would be stirred, Father, to draw closer to you. But, Father, we will be inspired by how the disciples' lives were changed by the resurrection. And that, Father, we will make decisions in our own life. That, Father, we will allow the resurrection of Jesus Christ to change our lives as well. Father, thank you so much again for that incredible sacrifice. Thank you so much that Jesus rose from the dead. And, Father, we thank you so much we're able to be here this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for all you've given us. Thank you for this time that we can come together to celebrate. We pray this in your son's most holy and precious name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. And let's take a look at, again, the events that took place as Jesus rose from the dead. John chapter 20, we'll begin reading in verse 10. It says, "Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.' Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where his nails were, and put my hand to his side, I will not believe it.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" You know, what an amazing event that has taken place. That Jesus has risen from the dead. He appears to Mary Magdalene. And we see that Mary is, she's weeping, she's crying. But then she goes and tells the news to the disciples. And then Jesus appears to the disciples. And they were together, of course, it says that they were locked in a room for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them. And it said that they were overjoyed. We already see the difference that Jesus is making in their spirit, simply because he rose from the dead. And then Jesus appears to Thomas. And of course, when Jesus appeared, Thomas was not with them. And there are many different reasons that are given for why he may not have been with them at the time. Some say because he believed that he was fooled, and he took it much harder than all the rest. That he was fooled, and what he witnessed and heard was not true. And because he was so distraught, he had to go off and be by himself and not with the other disciples. But we see here that he refused to believe in the resurrection of Jesus unless he had concrete proof. They would not trust the words of his fellow disciples. He wanted to have proof himself. That's why, you know, Thomas is often called Doubting Thomas. But we see here that when they appear to Thomas, it's almost like Thomas has his emotional guards up, that he would not be deceived again. You know, the reaction of Thomas, if we're honest with ourselves, it is a quite natural response, because it was not a common occurrence for a dead man to be raising from the dead. So Jesus, of course, when he appeared to him, said, you know what, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas received his proof and responded with awe and worship of Jesus. And after his encounter with Jesus, Thomas was never the same. Thomas believed and became a dynamic follower of Jesus Christ. Tradition tells us that he became a great missionary and died as a martyr for his faith. That's the one who went from doubting, wanting proof, to living for his faith and dying for Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, blessed are those who do not see, but yet who believe. And that is where faith comes in for each and every one of us, that we don't have the concrete proof as the disciples did, but says, blessed are those who have not seen, and yet who do believe, who put their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, what was it about the resurrection itself that changed their hearts, that went from weeping to being overjoyed? And I believe as we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it'll shed some light on what we could draw as a conclusion as to what made a difference in what they believed. 1 Corinthians, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll continue reading in verse 14. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testimony about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, in fact, if the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, for first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You know, when we think about this passage here, you know, think about what the disciples must have been feeling when Jesus was nailed to the cross. When Jesus was buried in a tomb, what they must have been thinking, what they must have been feeling in their hearts. And now let's think about how they would have been thinking if Jesus, if they drew the conclusion Jesus did not raise from the dead. Now one, Mary, of course, would have been justified for weeping because Jesus was gone, never to be seen again. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, then therefore, he was not the Son of God. And that, instead of following the Son of God, they followed an imposter. They followed a fake miracle worker, a nice guy, a good moral teacher, an imposter, but not truly the Son of God. You know, you think about if ever in your life, someone deceived you, someone lied to you. You think about how you felt. You know, when I think back as to the time where I really was fuming mad about being deceived, someone lying to me, was when I was a campus student. And I was having, like, some financial difficulties. And I had all but $100 in my bank account. That was it. And then I heard about this. Okay, you know what? If you give us $100, we're going to give you a loan. So I thought, okay, well, you know, I really need a loan. I can't go to OSAP. I can't go to the bank. I can't go. So right now I'm jammed. All I got is $100. So, you know, this guy really poured it on thick and told me, you know what? This is guaranteed. You give us $100, and you know what? We will give you the loan of whether we $1,000, $2,000. All you got to do is come sign the paperwork. And let's just say I was unwise in my youth. And I remember telling this guy specifically, you know what? This is my last $100. And he's like, oh, you know, don't worry, it's guaranteed. I go, okay, just so you know, it's my last $100. That means if I give this to you and there's no loan, I'm going to be starving. I'm not going to be eating anything. I'm a poor campus student. And then, you know what? It was a scam. It was a scam, and I'll tell you, I was so fuming mad because I bought it, hook, line, and sinker. I bought it, was deceived. I was still able to eat, but the point was, this guy deceived me, and I was just so angry. You know, you think about these disciples, and I'm not sure what their reaction would have been. Spending 3 of your years, as the disciples said in Matthew 6, that we've left everything to follow Jesus. So they would have given up everything to follow Jesus. They would have sacrificed so much to follow Jesus. Only to, was he an imposter? Was he a deceiver? Did we spend our last 3 years for nothing? Did we put our faith in a dead man? Because it says if Jesus did not raise from the dead, our faith is futile. Faith is useless. Because they put their faith in a dead man. And a dead man can't save. That everything they did was a waste of time. Their preaching was useless because their testimony was false and they'd be considered false witnesses. That their words would have been empty because Jesus was not the Messiah. And that they would have no power over sin in their life. And if Jesus did not raise from the dead, they would be still in their sins, not forgiven. And that's why Paul says that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we are to be pitied more than all men. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we are to be pitied more than all men based on our faith, what we put our faith in, how we live our life, that we are to be pitied more than all men because at that time there was no earthly value to Christianity. And so these disciples would be like, you know what? Not only did we fall an imposter, but now we have the Jewish authorities are knocking down our door. And the one who's responsible is God. And that there's nothing else to look forward to. So when we think about the disciples would be feeling many different things. They'd be thinking many things as you would if you didn't fully grasp the resurrection and what was going to take place. And we can see why they may have been saddened, discouraged, angry, have regrets, be absolutely confused, and even fearful. Because I'm sure each and every one of us would feel one of those things to one degree or another. But because Jesus raised from the dead, it proves that he was the Messiah. And now because he did raise from the dead, it proves that everything he said, everything he taught was absolutely true. And it reassures us that everything he said he would do, he is going to do. That because he raised from the dead, that he is trustworthy. Can you think of someone more trustworthy than someone who raises from the dead? That he is dependable and he can be counted on. You know, since Jesus rose from the dead, it proves that, you know what? all things are possible with Jesus. That if he can raise from the dead, he can make a difference in your life today. He can make a difference in your life tomorrow, next week, and for the rest of your life, just like he did with the disciples. He can change us, or he can change our circumstances. And he can remove pain. He can remove discouragement and turn it into joy, contentment, and fulfillment in our life. You know, it's amazing how we think about the empty tomb brings a fulfilling life. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we're not dead in our sins. But they knew, man, because Jesus raised from the dead, you know what? We are forgiven of our sins. And the resurrection of Jesus allows our past to be taken away. And these disciples, although they deserted Jesus, because of the resurrection and the forgiveness that comes with it, they were able to have a fresh new start in their life. And because of the resurrection, their hope was secure. You know, because without the resurrection, death was it. And not much more to look forward to. But because of the resurrection, the disciples were able to look forward to death very differently than the rest of the world. And we too can look forward to death in a very different way. Because death is the end of one life and the beginning of another. And Jesus overcame death by his resurrection. You know, some things for us to think about here this morning. You know, how has the resurrection changed your life? Or as you learn about the resurrection, how will the resurrection change your life? You know, when we think about, again, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, you know, the resurrection does demand some kind of response from each and every one of us. And we can intellectually have an intellectual experience where we can learn about who Jesus is and what he did for us. And sometimes we can look at, whether it be Easter or look at the resurrection, as just something that I understand intellectually. Or we can look at it emotionally. But sometimes when we look at something with just emotionally, it could be like watching a movie where you are in tears. You know, ever go watch a movie, you're in tears afterwards, but really, it didn't really change your life. Or it could be a personal experience. Because it was a personal experience for Mary, for the disciples, because there was a relationship with Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? And if not, what would it take to convince you that Jesus is the Messiah? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? That he's not limited in power? And that he's capable of changing your life for the better? You know, are we experiencing this morning the joy of our salvation? Are we experiencing the joy of our salvation because of the resurrection of Jesus? Or is something, some circumstance, robbing us of our joy? You know, are we excited about the forgiveness that comes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know, again, the resurrection of Jesus is a time of celebration because of who Jesus is, what Jesus conquered, and what it means for our life as disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said he passed on to them as of first importance. That the resurrection is of first importance. It is crucial to Christianity. Jesus lived, died, but you know what? He rose from the dead. And the resurrection of Jesus made a difference in the lives of the disciples. And it should make a difference in our lives today, where the resurrection It changed our lives forever. There was no more fear, only faith. There was no more confusion, only clarity. There was no more sadness, but only joy. His presence brought forgiveness for the past, joy for the present, and hope for the future. Let us remember the importance of the resurrection, the message of the resurrection, and allow it to change our lives forever. Have a happy Easter Sunday. Amen.